This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
I'm Philippe Cousteau from Earth Echo International, and you're listening to Out of the Blue 855 AM 3CR's Marine and Ocean News Program.
Followed by oyster liqueurs. Good morning and welcome to Out of the Blue on Sunday 19th of October 2025. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 on your AM dial, or you can have a listen from our website, all the W's, 3cr.org.au/radioblue, from where you can stream our broadcast, and you'll also find a number of previously aired episodes that have been uploaded as podcasts. You can also check us out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/outoftheblueradio. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land that 3CR is broadcasting from and pay our respects to their elders past and present, and also to future generations. My name's Andrew Christie from Melbourne Polytechnic and Marine Care Point Cook, and today's weather's a bit of a mixed bag. We've got a top temperature of 29 degrees with an 80% chance of showers, particularly in the evening. But the winds are cracking in from the north at about 35 to 50 kilometres an hour, especially in the northern suburbs. Batten down the hatches if you're up there. The wind will swing around to the northwest, 25 to 35 kilometres an hour later in the day. And towards the evening, it'll start blasting in from the southwest, and it'll change direction to the southwest, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour. So it's worth noting, just recently, the National Drowning Report was released from Royal Life Saving in Australia in partnership with Surf Life Saving. And unfortunately, a record 357 people drowned in the 2024 to 2025 financial year. So that marks, unfortunately, a 27% increase on the 10-year average of 281 deaths. The reason that I'm bringing up that very sobering news is because today's weather is, like I said, one of those mixed bags where you've got pretty strong winds out on the bay or any of the waterways throughout Victoria, and there's that change of direction of the winds as well. So be very careful if you're out and about on our beautiful bay or waterways in the state of Victoria today, because you've really got to be very aware of what that weather's doing. Anyway, quite a long-winded intro there. Today I'm joined in the studio by Logan Chandler, who is studying marine biology at the University of Melbourne, and he's very interested in science communication. Logan, how are you today?
I'm very good, thanks. How about yourself?
Yeah, very good, thanks. So we'll be discussing a whole range of topics, all things marine, shortly, and be back with you after this brief announcement.
Get lost in science.
Tune in to 3CR every week to hear
Beth,
Chris
and Stuart
discuss news and issues from the universe that is science.
Get informed and learn a bit more about the world around you. Lost in Science can be heard every Thursday at 8:30 in the morning and is repeated the following Tuesday at 6 a.m.
Word to the nerd. You can also download a podcast. Go to the website at www.3cr.org.au and get lost in science.
You're listening to Out of the Blue on 3CR Community Radio, 855 on your AM dial. Okay, Logan, can you give us a bit of an idea of who you are and what your life story is in a bit of a nutshell for our listeners?
Yeah, sure thing. So I was born and raised in Geelong. As you said earlier as well, I am a University of Melbourne student, studying a Bachelor's of Science and majoring in Marine Biology, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
And what, growing up in Geelong, was there anything in that neck of the woods that sort of got you inspired to sort of get into the marine biology field? What drew you to marine biology in the first place?
Yeah, I definitely think being rural and having so many beaches nearby is definitely a large part of what kind of inspired my decision to do marine biology. Also, I feel like having family members like my father, who was kind of born and raised in New Zealand, and he used to do a lot of like fishing, spear fishing, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he would have these crazy stories to tell me when I would, you know, I'd be in the bathtub pretending like I'm in the ocean and living out these stories, right? And it was just so, I don't know, it was very kind of intriguing to me. And so I think that kind of drove me towards it. And then I just started watching nature documentaries and was like, well, I guess this is what I'm going to do. This is too interesting and too fun. So I, yeah, locked in and chose it for uni as a major.
Wow,
yeah.
Excellent. And whereabouts in New Zealand did he grow up?
Yeah, so it's the South Island. He's from a little town called Tuatapere. And he kind of was, I don't know any of the beaches or stuff he went to, because there's a lot of names there that kind of go in one ear and out the other.
Yep.
But yeah, he would, yeah, grew up there in a high school that had like only 5 people in his cohort, like of his yearly cohort. And it's, yeah,
oh, wow,
pretty rural, pretty crazy.
Yeah, right. So have you been over there, been over to New Zealand?
Yeah, to visit family every now and then. Yeah, but not too recent. I went there recently to go visit family with my grandma, because, you know, hadn't seen her in so long. She came down for my 21st, and then, you know, I miss New Zealand so much, so I like going there. So, yeah, went down there and got to see some of the cool beaches down there.
Yeah.
Have you been to New Zealand?
Yes, a couple of times. There was once in particular for work, and it was actually interesting. Back, Melbourne Polytechnic used to be known as NMIT, Northern Melbourne Institute of TAFE. Mm. But then I went to NMIT in New Zealand, and that's Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology. And in an amazing part of the world called Nelson, in New Zealand. And it was like, I remember we flew into Wellington, and it was pouring rain and it looked very ordinary. And then we just hopped on another plane and we did this little island hop, only on the plane for a grand total of about 25 minutes to Nelson. Nelson has its own microclimate. And it is basically, we've touched down and in brilliant sunshine, and it was just amazing. It was one of the most awesome experiences. So the idea with that part of the world, they've got this wonderful aquaculture program there, and there's also a spot called the Cawthron Institute where they do a lot of aquaculture research as well. And it's right on the waterfront, and it's just amazing. You get killer whales, the orcas, coming in right alongside the beach hunting eagle rays and things.
Oh,
so we didn't see that or anything, but we're hearing these stories and it was like, this is just an absolute spin out. This is incredible.
Yeah,
so
right?
Yeah, beautiful part of the world. Absolutely amazing. So what you mentioned nature docos before. What got you going there? What nature docos that really got you interested in the marine biology side of things?
Yeah, so way back when I guess I was kind of showing interest and like really eager hearing my dad's stories, my grandma from New Zealand sent over a little DVD called The Octopus Garden, which was all about this octopus that would, you know, living its life near Stewart Island and like its reproductive cycle and, you know, what it would eat and how it would hollow out like those crabs and stuff. Also blue cod, which is a fish in New Zealand that like would come and eat it and like rip off its tentacles and stuff like that. And I was obsessed with that. Whenever we had like long drives or anything and they would put those like, you know, those little TV things on the back of the car seats, they would put that on, and then I just opted only to watch that nature documentary until it fully broke.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know, I love that so much. It was just so, I don't know, I guess it's very tranquil looking in the ocean, so yeah, it was pretty nice.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Yes, it's interesting where we get our inspirations from. And have you seen this? I haven't seen it, but I've heard everyone rave about it. My Octopus Teacher. Have you seen that one?
No, what?
So, that's one, I think it was set in, I stand corrected, but I think it was set in South Africa, and there was a guy who decided, he was going through a rough patch in his life, and he decided to take up snorkeling and freediving and things, and he was jumping in the water, and he kept finding this octopus, and he thought, you know what, I'm going to head out every single day, basically without fail, regardless of what the conditions are doing, and visit this octopus, and they ended up striking up some sort of relationship. It was a whole documentary series on it that was on like one of those subscription services, but just everyone who's seen it just absolutely raves about it. I think it's incredible.
I need to watch that ASAP.
Yeah, also, I need to get onto it.
That's my dream. Are you kidding me? Like that, I've watched that nature documentary so many times. I like, if I don't go out and scuba dive and befriend an octopus, like I might just lose my mind. That sounds so amazing.
Yeah, that's it. I've really got to check that one out. And can you tell us a bit more about so where you grew up? You mentioned Geelong before, so sort of specific area and what that entailed?
Yeah, so born and raised in Lara, which is like a regional part of Geelong, and just, you know, fully did my full, I think 18 years there. And then I moved briefly to Avalon Beach, which is near Lara, but like more in the middle of nowhere. It was down a little dirt road and the beach was a little bit smelly. It was like a sheltered beach, so a lot of seaweed and stuff. And then finally, I kind of didn't enjoy the dirt road drive to the train station to get to uni. So I managed to kind of group some friends up, and we moved to Kensington now, which is pretty nice. Yeah.
Yeah, good one, good one. Yes, I know Avalon Beach quite well. We were just chatting over coffees off air before, and Avalon Beach, we used to take our students down there to the Ocean Wave Seafoods, it was called, out of Lara, the abalone farm. And it's interesting, like abalone is now Victoria's number one aquaculture product, I believe. For years and years, it was rainbow trout. And then abalone overtook it. And, of course, most of that's based on overseas export.
Yeah,
and Ocean Wave sold up, I think it was Great Southern Waters, if I'm not mistaken, a big abalone farming enterprise in Victoria that bought that one. And I think they continue to run it to this day, but haven't been there for a long time now. So definitely to try and go and have a look one day.
Yeah, it was still very gorgeous. You just have to maybe bring a peg for your nose because it does stink so bad down there.
Yeah, it can. With the, like you said, all the weed washed up and stuff on the beach. Yeah, we get that a lot in the northern section of Port Phillip Bay. So what's what are you just get you to elaborate a bit more, Logan, on what you're up to these days with regards to your studies and what that all entails?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm actually on a leave of absence. I guess I had a bit of a uni crisis where I wasn't too sure on what I actually wanted to do after finishing uni in terms of careers and such. So I've been majoring in biochemistry, and I took a marine biology subject at uni, And one of the assessments was actually doing like a video to we're in like collaboration with a couple of other universities across the world. So like I think University of Exeter and things like that. And so we make a video to show our local wildlife. And so we went to Williamstown Beach and did it on the dwarf cushion star.
Right.
Yeah, which was pretty cool. And then I kind of just like fell in love with, I just really enjoy doing science communication portion of it because it's fun to make science, interesting and engaging to interact with. And that was part of the criteria. So that was right up my alley. And then I just kind of went from there and emailed one of the subject coordinators and found my way here for some work experience as well, which was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I think this is something we're speaking about this lot now. I know for a fact that Melbourne Polytechnic, but also just about every tertiary education institution you care to mention, communications are obviously such a crucial part of what we do these days, but I'm actively, the subjects that I teach, I'm looking at introducing a lot more of that sort of stuff, getting students to get familiar with video software, create their own information, get all that stuff done because it is just so important. It makes fantastic assessment tools nowadays in the with the rise of AI and like ChatGPT and stuff. I honestly, personally, my feeling is that the days of essays are absolutely numbered, or they not numbered in the sense that they'll always be there, but the way that we police that as educators and how much of a slab of the of the overall subject weighting those things take up, I think it's going to change.
Yeah, I know. AI is evil for that.
I reckon so. I think so too.
Everywhere, all the students. I am trying, like, I absolutely avoid it at all costs because I want to actually develop these, like, academic skills. And you're not, like, practicing those parts of your brain if you're using AI. It's
exactly, to do it for you. Good, that's right. I've got real concerns about it. I'm sure there are ways that you can use it to your advantage. And I've heard some people coming up with some fantastic ideas around that, but I've also seen the flip side too.
Oh, you
look at it and
definitely.
It's like, right, 98% bloody generated by a large language model. It's like, nah, that doesn't work. Can you tell us a bit more? That's intriguing. The dwarf cushion star.
Yeah. Please don't make me say the full Latin name. I only know the Pavulastra exigua. The rest of it, I could not say. So I had to voice over with YouTube clippings of someone saying it, but it's this little red and green sea star. It's very small. It's like arm length is under like 10 millimeters in like size. It is so tiny and really hard to spot amongst the red and green kelp on Williamstown Beach, like all of the little seaweed and stuff. It hides so well. And yeah, we just as a group presentation, we were partnered with a couple of random people we just sat beside. We made a little informative video to kind of compare to other shores across the world. And we found that there is another dwarf cushion star nearby the University of Exeter. And just drawing those kind of comparisons of what ours look like versus what theirs look like. And their kind of, morphology, but also saying it in a fun, interesting way that, you know, university students are going to want to actually watch. So, it was really fun. Really
unreal.
Good stuff.
I'd love to check that out. How long does the video go for, out of interest?
Yeah, it's like a 4-minute video. It's very brief because also, if you want to send it to uni students, they don't want a long, like, 1-hour video.
True.
Yeah. And it's no My Octopus Garden, you know? So, it was a very cute video and really fun to record as well. Just doing our own research for it and actually figuring out what's going on and comparing it to other species. There's also a dwarf cushion star that looks very similar to ours in South Africa. And yeah, just drawing those kind of comparisons is like really, very interesting stuff for me, at least in creating it, and hopefully for other people in watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to grab the link from you at some stage and must make a mental note to chase that one up and have a look at it. Is it floating around on YouTube?
No, if I don't have a YouTube, like a proper account, so I haven't posted it, but I've got it on my computer so I can make sure I email it to
you. Unreal. Yeah. That'd be great. I'd love to check that out. I know know the beast you mean. Now, I drew a blank when you said dwarf cushion star, but when you mentioned the name, yeah. I think it was Pateriella exigua. It may have even changed to, I wonder if it's changed now because they keep updating the taxonomy. There's the Calchar one that was Pateriella and it's now Meridiastra. But anyway, I know the exact one you mean. You tend to see a few of those out there. Incredible beast, the sea stars.
Yeah.
We've been doing a bit of research on them.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. We've done a little bit on Northern Pacifics, keeping an eye on what the invasive species numbers are and stuff around Point Cook, which they've thankfully tended to leave us alone. And then also, we did a fair bit out at Jawbone Marine Sanctuary at Williamstown for a while.
Yeah.
And kept them removing them. And once upon a time, that area across from Jawbone was getting absolutely smashed. That area they call the Crystals now, which there's a movement on to try and incorporate that as part of the Marine Sanctuary.
Yeah.
So that's all been, that used to be festooned, heavily infested with Northern Pacifics. But now you really have to search. They're few and far between. So the population seems to boom and bust in some of these areas. So happily, that seems to have happened for Jawbone and Point Cook Marine Sanctuaries. All right, we might, it's absolutely cracking along, 10 minutes to midday. We might kick to a song briefly just to break things up. This is Underwater Love, appropriate title, by Faith No More.
Thank you. Freedom of Species is a show about animals, for animals, listened to by humans. Tune in Sundays, 1 p.m.
Born to be wild. Born to be wild.
You're listening to Out of the Blue, 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. A couple of little news items I wanted to bring up now. Marine Care Ricketts Point are actually having a speaker evening. Kicks off at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, 6th of November. And for that one, two officers from the VFA, that is the Victorian Fisheries Authority, will be talking about the extensive work they do to protect Victoria's fisheries, parks, marine parks and sanctuaries. Now, bearing in mind the Victorian government has recently cut back funding for the Victorian Fisheries Authority and has reduced the number of enforcement officers that are around. This is going to be a pretty significant, it'll be very interesting to hear what they have to say. They won't be necessarily going into the politics behind it all, but that one kicks off at the Beau Morris Senior Citizen Centre behind the Beau Morris Library. So jump onto the net and check out Marine Care Ricketts Point if you're interested, and RSVP to that one if you're going to make an appearance. Also, Sharing the Love 6 is an event that gets put on every couple of years. This one's coming up at Barwon Heads from Friday 24th of October to Sunday 26th of October inclusive, and that one brings together all the marine care groups from around Victoria. Special shout out to John Duthie of Friends of Barwon Bluff, and also to Mark Rodrigue, who used to be at Parks Victoria and has basically driven this event for many, many years. So wonderful to see that he's still got that association with planning and hosting the event once again. All right, back to Logan Chandler in the studio. Logan, can you tell us a bit about some of the volunteering that you're involved with around the communication side of things?
Yeah. So I volunteered with the uni for a program called Science Delivery. And it was essentially the idea of it is it's run by or heavily like influenced by the low socioeconomic status schools, science students to be particular. And they just go through a bunch of interview processes to get these students. And then what we do is we create a show that we take to the road and go to all these different kind of like low socioeconomic schools and kind of show them why they should do science, and kind of encourage them that, you know, science should be on their list, is achievable, and it like isn't too far-fetched, and show them what careers are available in science, and show them like how interesting, cool, fun, and that they can do it and engaging science is, which was really, it was a really fun volunteer program I did.
Absolutely fantastic. And this is such a massive issue in today's world, especially the general lack of the numbers of students coming through in doing the science field. It's something, to be honest, we've been struggling with at, I'm sure, across the board, but Melbourne Polytechnic as well, with our Bachelor of Agriculture and Technology program. Just the numbers of students that aren't coming through, that aren't choosing science as an area, and God knows we need them these days.
Yeah.
We need a lot more people in those science fields. Just in closing, we've only got about another 10 seconds or so before we hand over to Sally for Out of the Pan. But the socioeconomic elements that you're discussing there, can you just elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah. So low socioeconomic status schools, and it's also in regional areas. It's just like kind of the idea that especially with the University of Melbourne, it just seems so unachievable. It's like in Melbourne, it's known as like a pretty prestigious school. And the idea of like having to move over 3 hours plus to go to uni just doesn't seem that achievable, and also unaffordable to live in Melbourne, right? So we go there and kind of let them know about different opportunities as well for like scholarships, how to like kind of live comfortably in Melbourne, or like what their options are. So then, you know, it's like achievable because, yeah, not many people from these schools end up at Melbourne doing science or doing science at all. So, or sometimes not even pursue further education. So that's what we wanted to, clear up and elaborate and kind of encourage.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that, Logan. Thanks a lot for coming into the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
No worries at all. And stay tuned for Out of the Pan with Sally.
た意識と節くれだった。あ、どうですか？あ、どうですか？いいですね。溢れる魚とネオンの産業、大人の女と。
5、4、3、2、1。
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio.